Be advised, I see midway up the World Trade Center tower, heavy black smoke coming out. Also, it seems like heavy damage to the upper portion of the building cave.
Thin Line Believers is a Christ-based outreach for the men and women who walk the thin line between good and evil, order and chaos. Our motto is, our service for His glory. To the police officers, veterans, firefighters, corrections, paramedics, dispatchers, and whoever else may join us, we are so glad you're here.
So do you ever look at guys like Brett Favre or Michael Jordan, who were a couple of the greatest athletes of their time, and instead of finishing and retiring and ending their career when they're at the top of their game, they decide to go ahead and go play for the Vikings and then the Wizards, when their legacies were left with the Packers and with the Bulls. Now, you and I, we want to finish strong, but we don't exactly know when the end is going to be. And what I'm talking about is our spiritual walk. The Bible calls us to finish the race and to finish strong. And we don't know exactly when the end is going to be of our spiritual walk, right? I mean, especially doing this job, you come to find out that the end can be any time. It's really not up to us. You know, whether it's the rapture or whether it's old age, health reasons, a car crash, a shooting, God forbid. We really don't know when the end is going to be. So we really want to set our eyes on the prize. And we want to live each day in a way that we can put a stamp on it of approval and say, yes, I live this day to the fullest. This is the day that God has given me, and I've given my all. I've prayed, I've read my Bible, I have sought Him completely, I've done good, and there's nothing about this day that I can't be proud of. And that's a lot easier said than done, especially given our current climate. Now, before I get into this too much, I know last week Steve introduced himself, because apparently we do have some new listeners on here, and so I guess it's only fair if I do the same. And please bear with me as I'm fighting through a cold tonight, but if I cough, I'll try to edit it out, but if it makes its way onto this podcast, I apologize. So my name's Adam. I have been in law enforcement 10 years, plus a little change now. I spent about 6 years as a member of our SWAT team. I am a member of our critical incident response team. And I just got my heart for my coworkers who struggle. And I really want to let everybody know, as best as I can, that there is hope, there is mercy, there's grace in Jesus Christ. And so that's why Steve and I started doing this podcast. For those of you who don't know, originally, we actually, for probably over a year, were sending out weekly devotional studies in written form. And we decided that because so many first responders are confined to a vehicle, and probably get tired of listening to the same music time and again, we thought maybe we'd give you something else to listen to and try not to lull you to sleep with our voices, even though we can't hardly stand them. And I know in weeks to come, we're going to have some guests with us. It sounds like Steve's going to have one in the next week, which I'm excited about. I'll let him kind of explain that. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but I think it's going to be great. I'm working on some guests as well. So in the future, it won't just be our voices, even though it has been like that for, this will be, what, the seventh week in a row now. But we are pushing forward with that. So again, what I wanted to talk about this week was finishing the race and ending at a high point. So to start off with, you know, we often talk about a guy named Paul. Now, Paul was originally named Saul. And for those who don't know, Paul was a member of the Sanhedrin, which is like the Jewish Supreme Court at the time. And this is around the time of Jesus. And Paul was actually present when Stephen was killed. He was stoned. And when I say stoned, I don't mean, you know, the green bud. I don't mean thank you, Oregon, for legalizing that. What I mean is, with actual rocks, they picked up and pummeled him to death. And I'm sure it wasn't a very quick death, given I don't believe I've seen a professional pitcher who was actually Jewish, at least not that I'm aware of. So I imagine it was a pretty slow, agonizing death. But all that to say, Paul was present and actually approved of it. And so Paul was originally, he was highly educated. In fact, scholars would say that his knowledge of Greek was incredible. And he was just an incredibly brilliant man, educated to the highest standards in Jewish law. And like I said, a member of the Sanhedrin. So he was very high up in Jewish standings. And he went about persecuting Christians early on. And then, having had a vision from the Lord Jesus, he, through a series of events, was converted to Christianity, and in fact wrote the majority of the New Testament as a result of that. And you can read a lot about Paul in the book of Acts. And I recommend, you know, checking him out, since he did write the majority of the New Testament. It's good for us to know whose words we're reading. But here in 2 Timothy, he's writing a letter to Timothy. This is obviously second letter, big surprise. And in chapter 4, he's finishing that letter, and he can tell that he's near his death before he's going to be killed. And so I'm going to read chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, verses 1 through 8 here. And then we're going to talk about finishing the race and hopefully doing it with a little bit of joy, especially in these tough times. I know that, you know, the world stage is kind of headed in a dark way, and I don't really see that changing. We've got this huge divide, and I don't see it coming together. And really, I don't believe there is any kind of reconciliation outside of Jesus Christ. But let's get into the text here. So it says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Now, I don't know about you, but especially when I read the news, man, I long for his appearing. I really, really do. And so what Paul is calling us here to do is pretty plain and simple, really. He's calling us to fight the good fight. He's calling us to keep the faith. He's calling us to keep Jesus first. He's calling us to keep our heads. He also notes in here that people can find a teacher to tell them whatever they want to hear. If you want to hear that smoking pot is not a sin, there's a preacher out there that'll teach you that. If you want a preacher to tell you that divorce is great and that you can leave your wife because you don't love them anymore, there's a preacher out there, I'm sure, that'll tell you that. And people turn their back on sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is what the Bible says. And when I say that, I mean we are to take the Bible literally in the context that it was intended originally. And I think the world's gotten away from that. But let's really talk about finishing the race and finishing it with a little bit of joy. I think, especially for those of us in law enforcement, for those who are first responders who deal with the worst of the worst day in and day out, we can kind of lose sight of a finish line. And we become kind of jaded and even bitter, it seems like, a lot more easily than the rest of the population, because the rest of the population doesn't see what we see and deal with what we have to deal with. Responding to I guess we'll be a little more specific. So this last week, I got a call from one of my best friends who had to respond to a suicide, and it was an 11-year-old boy. So how do you walk away from that? How do you go about your life? How do you find joy after that? It becomes more difficult, it seems, to find the joy, to find the happiness. For some people, not all people. Now for me, the worst year of my life was, I guess I can't say the worst year of my life. I'd say the year that was filled with most trials was 2014. Maybe 2018 was like that for you. But for me, in 2014, I used deadly force. I responded to a crash where one of my best friend's son was the driver and was killed. My best friend was the passenger. Later on that year, another friend of mine's wife was diagnosed with cancer, and shortly after that, passed away from that cancer. Thank God she was a believer, and I know where she's at now. But shortly after that, my wife was diagnosed with cancer, and having that fresh in my mind terrified me. But the beauty of it was, through all that, God reached me. Now, I went from a believer, lukewarm, not really having a relationship, just calling on the Lord when I needed Him, to now having a walk with Him. And so I am so grateful for those trials. Now, that doesn't work the same for everybody. I know not everybody goes through trials and draws near to the Lord, but I'll tell you what, God will reach you where you are. And if you want to know the heart of God, if you want to know what's going on, why this stuff is happening, praying and seeking without opening your Bible is almost like having a phone conversation with no service. You're really only talking to yourself. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't hear you, because He does, but if you want answers, you got to open up the book. You got to read the Word of God, and He'll give you answers. I guarantee it. So, you know, I chose in the beginning to talk about Michael Jordan and Brett Favre because I'm not really much of a runner, and I couldn't really even think of a runner's name to talk about finishing a race. I suppose we could have gone with NASCAR, but I don't know anything about that either, and I don't believe Paul was talking about NASCAR. But what I am saying is I think in our spiritual walk, it would do us a lot of good to live each day like we're on the 20-yard line at the two-minute warning. Now, for those of you who don't know, that's a football reference. But when I talk about this, what I'm saying is, if you and I are working out 4 or 5 days a week because we want to make it through the next shift, we want to go home to our families, you know, the Bible says that physical exercise is good to an extent. However, if we're going through all that, why not exercise our spiritual self even harder? Why? Because that's the part of us that's going to live on for eternity. When we get to heaven, the Bible says that we're given glorified bodies. We're given new bodies. So why wouldn't we exercise the part of us that's going to live on eternally? Now, I wanted to talk about finding some happiness and joy in these times. Because, yeah, you can push forward and you can treat each day like you don't know when you're going to have to punch the time card that last time. But if we're not finding some joy and happiness, then things are going to be pretty rough and we're going to have a lack of motivation to finish strong. It's been said that this is the most depressed generation in recorded history, and I absolutely believe it. When we're talking about suicides and prescription depression medications, they're at an all-time high. People, the marijuana use is incredible, and it's because people don't want to face reality. They want to alter their state of mind. So I think it's hugely important that we find some happiness. And I think it's important for me to share with you, maybe to save you some time, that happiness is not a feeling and it's not found in your emotions, it's found in God. Happiness is the person of Jesus Christ. And if you cling to that, you will find happiness. You're still going to go through trials. But in order to find a peace that surpasses all understanding, you're only going to find that in Jesus Christ. So I wrote in a quote here from C.S. Lewis, and this is how he finished the book, Mere Christianity. And I think this speaks volumes about what we're talking about here. So C.S. Lewis said, "Submit with every fiber of your being, and you will find eternal life. Keep back nothing. Nothing that you have not given away will be really yours. Nothing in you that has not died will ever be raised from the dead. Look for yourself, and you will find, in the long run, only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. But look for Christ, and you will find Him, and with Him everything else thrown in." So this reminds me of, I've heard Pastor John Corson talk about this before, actually, that in order for a seed to become a tree, it first has to die. We have to be willing to die to self, and in so doing, we'll live for others, we'll live for Christ. No one who has live just for themselves has died a happy person. But when you live for others, that's where you actually find true joy. I believe it was Mr. Rockefeller who died, an incredibly wealthy man. And he was actually asked, "How much money does it take to make someone happy?" And his response was, "Just a little more." And it's my understanding that he died a miserable man. So you can have all the riches in the world, but if you're living for yourself, you will be a miserable person. If you live for others, if you give your service to others, you will find joy because that's the way God intended it. He didn't mean for us to, well, I got to pull out another John Corson quote here, and I love this one. Christians are like manure. Gathered in one place, they will fester and stink. But when you spread them out, they do very good things. You spread manure out, it causes growth. And I think that's a very disgusting illustration, but it's also accurate. If we just go to church, which I'm not knocking church, church is essential. I believe that. But if we go to church and we go home and we do nothing else, we're going to stink. We're going to stink. We may be filled up ourselves, but if we're not pouring out, we're like that pond that I talked about recently. If a pond doesn't have an outlet, it's just going to stink. If you've ever been to Camp Rylea, there's a pond there that just collects rainwater, and there's no outlet, and that sucker smells awful. But you know what? If you go to a pond that has an inlet and an outlet, it's going to be fresh, and it's going to be beautiful, and that's how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be filled, and we're supposed to send it out. And if we're not sending it out, we're not going to experience the joy that comes with that. I guarantee you, when I share the gospel, when I share my testimony with people, I find no greater joy. If I am helping people, my favorite thing to do when on patrol was to help somebody change a tire. Because, well, especially if they weren't, you know, some 22-year-old guy who just doesn't know how to do it. But if it's an elderly old man or something like that, I get more joy out of that, and that's more fulfilling to me, getting them back on the road, than any number of arrests. Because if I'm helping someone, then I'm fulfilling my purpose. If I'm not helping someone, if I'm not spreading the gospel, if I'm not sharing my testimony, I'm just going to fester, and I'm going to stink. So, I've got another semi-quote here. I can't remember exactly how he said it, but Ben Corson, Hope Generation, said something to the effect of our situation should not dictate our outlook, but our outlook should dictate how we perceive our situation. Now, I know that's easier said than done. I can talk about how to handle a situation and whatnot, but that doesn't really mean much unless I've got some substance to back it up with. And I can tell you from experience that I have looked at situations and I have let them control me, and I've dealt with the depression, I've dealt with the anxiety, and I have dealt with the ulcer to come along with it. So hopefully I can save you from an ulcer and say our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is that this life is the worst that it's ever going to be. I believe it was also C.S. Lewis who said that if heaven is real, then that's all that really matters. But if heaven is not real, then nothing really matters. And that's so true. And I hope that you and I are living for heaven with our head in the clouds, but our feet firmly planted here on earth, because God also called us to live our lives here. But keep in mind, keep in your head that heavenly perspective, that this isn't the end. And another quote here by Ben Corson: in the end, it's going to be okay. And if it's not okay, then it's not the end. You and I are going, as long as we're all believers here, we're going to be in heaven one day. The Bible says that God will wipe every tear from our eyes. Now, I don't know that that means it'll be sadness in heaven. I think more likely it'll be tears of joy. But how comforting is that, to know that the God who created us is going to be there to welcome us with open arms with the words on his lips, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And I want every single one of us to hear those words. And so let me just offer you some encouragement today that no matter how bad the world gets, no matter how bad your situation, it would be a slap in the face to God if I didn't say he is greater than your worst situation. He is more full of grace and more merciful than your greatest sin. There's nothing that we can do that will separate us so much from him that we can't come back. Even if we're the prodigal son and we've gone away and we have spoiled our relationship, we can come back and he's running to meet us. So with that, I want to encourage you all. It's a new year coming. Finish this year strong. Look to the Lord and he will provide for you. I guarantee it. I make that promise. So thank you all for listening. We hope that you'll find blessing in the new year. Please, we hope that you're willing to share our podcast with some other folks. We're looking to reach as many people as we can, especially after the shooting in California where one of our own lost their lives this last week. We want to keep them in our prayers. And we also want to keep you in our prayers because times are tough for a lot of people. And if they're good, trust me, it's a season. Times get tough for everybody. So to finish this off, I'd like to just say a quick prayer. Father, thank you. Thank you for gathering us in your name. Thank you that there is hope, that there is happiness, that there is joy in your name. We know that you are light and that even in the darkest of times, you are always available to us. And you will find us in the darkest of valleys. Lord, we praise your holy name. We ask that you will bless our brothers and sisters in blue, our first responder family, and our veterans who sacrificed so much for our country. We thank you, and we ask that you'll watch over us and over our country as we begin this new year. Thank you, Father. Amen.